Turning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. We're returning to this short series that we're having on this particular portion, on the subject of forgiveness. The last time we were here, we looked at the subject of being forgiven by God. And we were reminded of the nature of God's forgiveness, of the unconditional nature of the pardon that we receive in the Lord Jesus Christ. We considered the great extent of how we have been forgiven, that it's all of our sins that have been washed and cleansed away, and that how we have that perfect peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something that's offered to us in the gospel. This is the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which is lost. This afternoon we want to come and consider the subject not only of being forgiven by God, but now of forgiving ourselves. And it's something that I feel as a pastor that we need to be able to grasp and understand the nature of God's forgiveness and how that applies to us personally. So with that in mind, we'll seek God's help in prayer and we'll return to this portion of God's Word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we love to speak upon the subject of forgiveness, to know that we who are guilty in the sight of God, who have amassed a mountain of sins, knowing that we could never find peace with God in ourselves or through any work or merit that we could do. No religious observance can ever take away our guilt. We realize that we are pardoned through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ when he became sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might receive the very righteousness of Christ for ourselves. We thank thee for that wonderful exchange. Our sins laid upon Christ, his righteousness given to us, and that we can be forgiven, that we can have that wonderful assurance that as far as our sins are concerned, that thou, God, shall remember them no more. Help us now to consider again the message of this passage. May we take heart from the truth that it contains for us. And may we live before thee as those who have been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we live unto thy praise, thy glory, and thy honour, we ask in our Saviour's name. Amen. I want to draw your attention to the verses towards the end of the chapter, beginning at verse 47. Where the Lord Jesus said, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." I came across a very interesting article just a little while back concerning a sale that took place on eBay. And if you're familiar with eBay, you can sell virtually anything on it, and people will bid and buy and purchase things that perhaps you no longer have want or need of. Well, what was being sold on eBay on this particular occasion was described as a guilt kit. A guilt kit. And each kit contained 10 disposable brown paper bags and a set of instructions that read, to place the bag securely over your mouth, take a deep breath, and blow the guilt out into the bag and dispose of it immediately. What's amazing is he sold approximately 2,500 kips at a few dollars each before the authorities caught him on and banned his advertisement. The very reason that someone could come up with such a ridiculous idea and sell it to thousands of people is due to the fact that a great number of people are carrying around with them a load of guilt and are seeking for any way to rid themselves of it. If memory serves me, at the last Mofo Carnival in Hobart, they had something similar where they had a bonfire and you wrote out your guilt and your sins and you burnt them, and that dealt with them, they told us. Pagan nonsense, of course. But it doesn't deny the fact that there were multitudes willing to avail themselves of the opportunity to rid themselves of the guilt that they carried. The story is told of a prank that was carried out by the famous playwright Noel Coward. And it says that he wrote an identical letter to 20 of the most famous men in London. And the note read, "Everybody has found out what you are doing. If I were you, I would get out of town." And supposedly all 20 disappeared from London that weekend. There was something in their life or in their past that filled them with guilt that they were afraid would come out in the press or to their peers, and so they disappeared for a little while. Now, there are times when we feel guilty. It's because we are guilty. Guilt has a way of revealing itself to us when our wrong actions and attitudes and sinful thoughts begin to trouble us, and our conscience begins to cry out that we have done something wrong, that we have not only offended ourselves, but we have offended a holy God, and we feel the burden of that guilt. There are times that we rightly feel guilty, and we need to deal with those things that bring about those feelings of guilt in our life. But I want to consider this afternoon the Christian who, having found pardon through the Lord Jesus Christ, is still haunted and harassed by unnecessary guilt. We dealt with the need of forgiveness in our last message. We're moving on to now forgiving ourselves. I want you to realize that there are times when we need to be able to move beyond what has happened in our past. As a minister, I have often spoken with some who have struggled when dealing with their past. They have difficulty leaving the past behind them. Some past failure, some past crime or sin has dogged every step that they take. The skeletons in their closet rattle continually. And although their sin has been faced up to and confessed unto God, they still carry a sense of guilt for what it is that they have done. And you can be sure that if you don't deal with your guilt will deal with you. We need to realize that when God has forgiven us, that the slate has been wiped clean, our debts have been cancelled, the very memory of our sins, God says that He will remember them no more. And the feelings of doubt and guilt that we have over sins that we have already confessed, we need to take action with. In our last study, we looked at this woman in Luke chapter 7, to whom the Lord Jesus affirms that her sin has been forgiven. He says in verse 48, thy sins are forgiven. Not will be forgiven or might be forgiven, but they are forgiven. We would think that would end the issue. But you'll notice in the words of verse 50 that the Savior reaffirms the saving nature of this woman's faith in him. He says, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace. Those sins that the Lord Jesus has forgiven her of in verse 48 are already gone in the mind of God. As soon as the word of forgiveness is spoken by the Savior, her sins are gone. My sins are forgiven. But yet he has to remind her in verse 50 that she can go in peace. I want us to consider the reality of forgiven sin. That was certainly the question that was asked in verse 49. Who is this that forgiveth sins also? Who is this man that can forgive sins? We've just heard the Lord Jesus say to Simon, I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. We see him turn to the woman and address the nature of her sins and tell her afresh, thy sins are forgiven. And in doing so, the Lord Jesus was declaring for all to hear that he is the Savior of the world. He is the one who has come to save his people from their sins. There is one here before them that can save them and deliver them from their guilt. Yes, our sins can be forgiven. Whatever they may be, however many they may be, they can be forgiven. And the story before us is a wonderful example, a wonderful highlight of that great truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to forgive our sins. We see something of the nature of our Savior. He has come seeking to save that which is lost. Before he entered into the house of Simon, they were accusing him in verse 34 of being a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. So as he enters into the house of Simon, we're told of a woman in the city which was a sinner that slipped in along with the crowd and began to kiss his feet and anoint them with oil. Simon himself said within himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. They have accused the Lord Jesus of being a friend of sinners, and our story demonstrates that. Yes, he was a friend of sinners, and yet he did not partake in their guilt. How we ought to be praising God this afternoon that the Lord Jesus Christ did not come to this world to condemn us or to judge us as guilty in the sight of God. We already know that we are guilty. He has come as a friend to sinners. And if we know ourselves at all and we see the depth and the depravity of our sin and guilt in the sight of God, there's one thing that we needed above everything else. We needed a friend of sinners. We needed one who would come alongside and draw us unto himself, because we could never draw ourselves unto God. We needed a friend of sinners. The Lord Jesus came and reached out to those whom society had forsaken, those whom the decent people of the land turned away from and ignored and cast scorn upon, the outcasts, Does he not know what kind of woman this is that's lying at his feet kissing him? Does he not know that she's a sinner? Yes, he knows. He's the friend of sinners. He's available to all sinners. And so when he says in verse 50 to this woman, "Thy faith have saved thee," she had come to him as one unworthy, and yet by faith in him, looking unto him who was the friend of sinners, she found that he didn't cast her away. The Savior said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The word "call" is the word that means to invite or to bid them come unto me. The Lord Jesus invited sinners to come to him, and thank God he still does. And this woman who was a sinner in the city, her reputation preceding her, discovered that it mattered not to the Lord Jesus Christ who she was or what she had done. He could forgive her all of her sins. Known throughout the city for the wicked life that she lived and the degeneracy of her ways, her sins are spoken of in verse 47 as being many. Her sins, which are many, can all be forgiven. The very worst and chief of sinners, forgiven by God. The Lord Jesus Christ came as a friend to sinners. And praise God, when he forgives all sins. We are reminded in 1 John 1 and 7 of the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that it cleanseth us from all sin. When we come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are accepted by him, and we are forgiven by him, and we know and experience the reality of forgiven sin. Now, while we can experience the forgiveness of sins, there can yet be an anxiety about our former sins. Once the Lord Jesus told this woman that her sins were forgiven, he said something to her that I think is just as powerful, a great truth that is often overlooked. Most of the commentators that I read barely mentioned it at all. I'm referring to that last phrase in verse 50 when the Lord Jesus said to this newly forgiven sinner, "Go in peace. Go in peace." We can only imagine what those words must have meant to her. For one whose life had been so soiled and stained by sin, these must be the sweetest words that she has ever heard in her life. I'm sure she never forgot them. He said to me, "Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. All that you've ever done has been washed away. Your past has been cleansed. You're whiter than the snow. You are a new creature in Christ. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You have a wonderful life ahead of you. Go in peace." No longer to live with the shame of her past weighing heavy upon her. No longer to feel that she was defiled and dirty and depraved in the sight of God. She has been forgiven. Her past has been buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. She doesn't have to go through the rest of her life carrying this load of guilt and shame for what she had done and for whom she had been. She has been forgiven. Now go in peace. Go in peace. When the Lord forgives us, we do not have to carry with us that load of guilt a moment longer. We go in peace. And yet, there are those who are yet bothered by their past sins. Those memories that keep lurking. Those ghosts of guilt that always seem to hover around. That memory of the life that you once lived. That blush that comes to your cheek when you recall your past and you replay again in your mind the many things that you have done wrong. Shakespeare described the guilty person as one full of scorpions. They were always stinging the mind and the soul and the conscience. He pictured Lady Macbeth looking down on what were lily white hands, but all that she could see was the blood because of her part in a murder. I'm speaking this afternoon to those to whom the Lord Jesus has said, "Thy faith has saved thee. Thy sins, which are many, have been forgiven thee." And yet, they don't have the peace of that forgiveness. Some past failure, some carnal mistake, some former lifestyle, some past wrong continually haunts them and harasses them. We read in Revelation 12 and verse 10 of Satan, who is described as the accuser of the brethren. The accuser. The one who speaks against the assembly of the saints. The one who's always looking for ways to trouble the children of God. Who draws alongside and whispers in the ear, "You're no good. I know what you did. I know the kind of life that you lived. I know how unworthy you are." And all of our sins and guilts are being trawled up again and brought before us. We're bothered by our sins. And our guilt would enslave us once again. Because if we don't deal with that guilt and the feelings of guilt, we will be in bondage to it. I've known of Christians that hesitate to get involved in the work of God because of something in their past that they feel disqualifies them. I've known others that have watched from the sidelines as the rest get involved in the work of God, and they look on with a longing in their heart, feeling, "I wish that I could be with them, but don't you know what I've done?" And their guilt silences them and strangles their witness and becomes a chain around their mind and their memory, putting them in that emotional prison when Christ has already broken those shackles and opened the door. And they're burdened with their guilt. What's the answer? It's the last words of verse 50. It's the words of our Savior to this woman. Go in peace. The peace spoken of here is that quietness, that serenity from within. A restfulness, a tranquility. They are at peace with themselves. We know that we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we have sought forgiveness from God. We know that we have it because God has promised we have peace with Him through the Savior. It's peace with ourselves that we lack. Well, let me point out again those words of the Savior. There is, in these words, the assurance of forgiven sins. Sometimes we lack the assurance. These words were given to assure her that her sins had been forgiven. The Savior wants her to know that in spite of who she was, and in spite of what she had done, her sins were actually forgiven. They have been removed. They have been taken away. They're gone, and they're gone forever. For someone like her, it may have been that she felt that she was too bad for God to forgive. And yet the Savior would assure her, yes, even you can be forgiven. And while He is assuring her that her sins were gone, I believe He also wanted her to know that she didn't have to go through life carrying with her this guilt of shame over what she had been and what she had done. And since her sins had been dealt with by God, no longer to be held to account, as God is not going to hold her accountable any longer for them, neither should she hold herself. Now that doesn't mean that others will forget. We have long memories when it comes to the things that people do wrong. We remember those things much longer than the things that they do well. And I've no doubt there will be many that will point the finger and say, isn't that the woman? If you want a biblical example, we draw your attention to Rahab. Thousands of years later, after that woman was brought out of Jericho and assimilated into the people of God and indeed became an ancestor to our Savior Himself, we're still guilty of calling her the harlot Rahab. Yet her sins have been forgiven and she had peace with God. Others might not forget. Others might seek to hold them to your head and whisper in your ear. But the Savior would have this woman know that her sins are forgiven. He wants to assure her of that great fact and to accept it. It says in Hebrews 8 and verse 12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And when God has said that He would not remember our sins anymore, He is saying that He has forgiven us. They'll never be called to mind. So go in peace. Go in peace. Don't be bothered by those past sins. Don't live in bondage to them. And when the devil comes and tells you the great list of things that he has held against you, tell them that the account of God knows none of them. That they've been washed and cleansed. That you are at peace with God through the faith, and that He has forgiven you. If you have been forgiven by God, then we can go in peace. If you lack that assurance this afternoon, then why not bring it to the Lord? That you know all of the wrong that you've done, indeed He knows more about that wrong than what you do. As you know that you have been forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ, the burden of the sin has been taken away. Ask that your memory might be given peace from Him. You don't have to live with the shame and the guilt, be silenced and strangled by it.
the Lord can forgive us. And we can go in peace. The close with a story from the life of a great British preacher by the name of Brownlow North. And he lived a very wicked life before he was converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. A notorious life. And one evening as he had entered a church in which he was to preach, a stranger approached him and handed him a note, a letter, and said, "This is a matter of great importance. You're requested to read the letter before you go and preach this evening." And thinking that it might be a request for prayer, he immediately opened it and found in the letter, written out in great detail, a list of the many things that he had done in the past. And the letter concluded with the words, "How dare you, being conscious of the truth of all above, pray and speak to the people this evening when you yourself are such a great and vile sinner." He put the letter in his pocket. When the time came for him to preach, before he approached his text at all, he pulled out the letter and he read it in full to all who had gathered. And he told that crowded congregation, "All that is here said is true. That is a correct picture of the degraded sinner that I once was. Ah, but how much more wonderful was the grace that could quicken and raise me from such a death in trespasses and sins and make me, as what I appear before you this night, a vessel of mercy, one who knows that all his past sins have been cleansed away through the atoning blood of the Lamb of God, whom I speak of this evening. And present to you the friend of sinners. If God has forgiven you, your past has been cleansed away. The atoning blood of the Lamb of God still avails for your sins." And the words to the Savior, to each child of God, saved by faith in him, is go in peace. Go in peace. Thy sins, which are many, are forgiven. Those to whom the Lord has forgiven much must love him much. May it be seen in our lives the great debt of gratitude that we owe to the Lord. Having been forgiven much, that we love him much. And when our life is examined, may it not be for the crimes and sins of our past, but may it be our great love for a wonderful Savior that's brought to the fore. And may we, like Brownlow North, when confronted about our past, and say, "What a wonderful Savior that is able to cleanse me of all of those sins and many more." Go in peace. Thy faith hath saved thee.